arch enemies.
Mitchell, Nebraska.
Wow, corn country.
Tennessee.
All right.
Here in Concord, North Carolina.
Okay.
Green to South Carolina.
All good, Tennessee.
All good, Tennessee.
Columbus, Georgia.
Columbus, Georgia.
Colorado Springs, Colorado.
Colorado Springs.
Sunshine State.
Sunshine State, which is Florida.
Is too.
Okay.
Jacksonville.
Okay.
Princeton, North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
Goldsboro.
Okay.
Springsboro.
Hey.
Northern Virginia.
Northern Virginia.
Simpsonville, South Carolina.
Okay. Ditto, South Carolina. All right.
Simpsonville, Rochester, New York.
Uh-huh.
Lancaster, Pennsylvania.
All right, Lancaster, Pennsylvania. Well, you know, when I got, you're from Nebraska, right? When I got out of the Army after all those years, 22 years in the Army, when I got out of the Army, I swore I'd never eat corn again. I was tired of working with colonels. Oh, boy. Colonels, I guess. This thing is already on. Okay. I'll tell you what, I'm from Tennessee. We have those redneck laptops there, you know. Etch-a-Sketch. And so, my name is Max Holt. I'm from Clarksville, Tennessee. I'm the singles pastor of Hilldale Baptist Church in Clarksville, which is about 45 minutes northwest of Nashville, Tennessee, Music City, USA. And I am glad to be here and glad that you're here. We do have some handouts that are coming your way very shortly. That one. Mm-hmm. That one. Very shortly. When you get your handout, turn it over and don't look at it yet. And we'll talk about it once we get ready to actually start. Actually, originally I'm from Texas. I grew up on a farm near Clarksville, Texas. 9 brothers and sisters, kind of a typical farm family. And then ended up in Dallas as a teenager, and school and marriage and army for 22 years and all that kind of stuff. And after the army and ministry, I ended up in Tennessee, and I've been in my church for 13 and a half years. Started the singles ministry there. And now, on June 3rd, will be my last Sunday, and I'm retiring. And I'll be writing a couple of books and speaking and working with Lifeway Christian Resources as a consultant and just kind of enjoying the grandkids, if you know what I mean. We have a big problem with our 4 grandkids. They all have their own account at the First National Bank of Grandma. And they know how to make withdrawals, let me tell you. I do enjoy living in Tennessee. My kids are both in Tennessee. My 2 sons are in Tennessee, and my grandkids are in Tennessee. And of course, I've learned a lot. Being in Tennessee, I've learned the plural of y'all. For instance, all y'all. I learned that. I learned some redneck words. I learned aorta is a redneck word. Aorta, cut that grass around that trailer. I learned that sensuous is a redneck word. Sensuous up, would you get me a cold one from the fridge? Mayonnaise is a redneck word. Mayonnaise, a lot of people in that place, sir. You know? And finally, the most difficult word I had to learn, I still don't know how to spell it properly, is widgetidgy. That's a redneck word. Widgetidgy. You didn't bring the kids with you, did you? So I've learned a lot from the rednecks. I'm a redneck from Texas, and I've learned a lot from the rednecks in Tennessee.
I've got one for you. A mom and him.
Yes.
A mom and everybody that's with her.
Yeah, a mom and everybody's with her. A mom and him. Mom and him. Yeah, that's another redneck word. And so I've learned a lot from being in Tennessee. I did learn, being from Texas and Tennessee, I learned that there's a real connection between the two. When Texas was fighting for its independence, obviously the famous battle in Texas was the Alamo. A lot of people don't know that 27 Tennessee volunteers were actually in the Alamo during that battle and died in the Alamo, helping Texas gain their freedom from Mexico. And I remind Tennesseans all the time that the Alamo was Tennessee's first loss on the road. And they've had trouble ever since on the road. Especially against Florida, or is it Georgia? Who are they have trouble with? Anyway, I'm glad to be here, and I'm glad that you're here. And this will be kind of a more of an unstructured kind of presentation, because we're talking about creativity. I'm going to give you a chance to be kind of creative. So the first thing I want to do as we talk about creativity is I want you to pull out your handout sheet. Turn your handout sheet over. And I'm going to give you about 30 seconds or so. And I want you to tell me how many squares you see in that diagram. And so just take a few moments there and tell me what you see. Okay, most of you had a chance to count. So let me just start over here. How many squares?
Oh, I count 17.
17 squares, okay.
I stopped at 29.
29 squares. You have 30 squares.
23.
23 squares.
30.
30 squares.
21.
26. 26. Okay, there are actually 30 squares in this diagram. All right, and here they are. My mouse stopped working for some reason. Maybe it didn't give me enough cheese or something. But anyway, here are the 30 squares. There's, well, first of all, let me go back. Right there, 17. There's 16 small ones plus the big one around it. Okay, so there are four more squares. So 17 and 4 is? Okay, now there's another square right there. There's another one. And another one, and another one, and another one, and another one, another one, another one, another one, and that makes 30 squares. 30 squares. Now here's the whole point. Is that sometimes when we talk about creativity, all of us to some degree think we're creative. You know, we do some little special thing that's out of the ordinary, and we look at ourselves in the mirror and say, I am really creative. You know, man, they're glad they got me. You know, I'm really creative. But generally, we pretty much stay inside the lines. We really do. We're kind of a locked-in group of people. There's certain defined organizational standards that we have in organizations. There's certain rules in your church, or a lot of rules in the military. We have a military chaplain up here. A lot of rules and regulations in the military and other places. And we kind of live within those boxes, within those guidelines that others set for us generally. Experts say that we are the most creative at age 7 and below. Because it is at about age 7 or so when the teacher starts saying, you colored outside the lines. You're not supposed to color outside the lines. Try it again, little Johnny. And little Johnny tries to keep that red from going outside the lines, and he stays within the lines, and we are taught from a young age that we shouldn't get outside the lines. Or outside the box, outside the normal way of thinking about things. And so some of us find it difficult to immediately see any more than 16, and then almost everybody, 17 squares. When in fact, if you readjust your approach, your view, then you see that there are more than that. I saw a cartoon, a Charlie Brown cartoon, where Charlie Brown was practicing his bow and arrow. And he was on the back porch. He had a little quiver of arrows on his back, and he had his bow. And Lucy, you know how loving and benevolent she is. Lucy is standing there watching, and so Charlie pulls an arrow, and he fires it to the back fence. He walks out to the fence. He pulls a marker from his pocket and draws a bullseye around the arrow. He goes back to the porch. He takes a second arrow. He aims at the target, and he misses a foot or so off to the left. He goes out to the second arrow, takes his marker, and draws another bullseye. So Lucy is just beside herself, and she says, Charlie Brown, you are so stupid. That is not the way to do bow and arrow practice. And he said, I know it isn't, But it's the only way I can hit the target. And here's what I know about singled up ministries. Here's what I know about people in general. Most people are drawing circles around where they are and calling that their target. And we stifle creativity. And we get into routine in our ministries. Any of you have been to Ridgecrest, North Carolina for the Labor Day weekend conference? Singles conference at Labor Day weekend? When I first came into singles ministry in 94, I went to Ridgecrest to the National Singles Conference for Labor Day weekend. It's put on by Lifeway. They do one for the East in Ridgecrest, North Carolina, and they do one for the West in... well, I've drawn a blank. It's in Arizona. Anyway, it's in the mountains up there, close to ski country, where they do a second conference for that part of the country. And when I was there in 1994, you had to walk like this, you know, down the hallways. There were approximately 2,700 singles at this conference. And if you wanted a seat for worship, you had to really get over there early to get you a seat. It was incredible. Well, if you go to Ridgecrest, North Carolina today, you will be with probably 400 singles, maybe 500 at the most. It's become, over the years, it has become routine. It hasn't been creative enough to be fresh. It's like the singles in my group. I mean, I had to get extra buses. We used to take two buses to the Labor Day Weekend Conference for singles from my church. You know, carry 60, 70 singles to this Labor Day Weekend Conference. Now, I'm doing good to get 7 or 8 who want to go because they've been there, done that. Bought the t-shirt, you know? So, it's not creative enough to keep it fresh. And that is our challenge. We all live in these little boxes and these little rules that we all have, and we operate within these. But when it comes to getting outside of that box, all of a sudden we're challenged to get outside of that box. And so, what I want you to look at your notes there, and I want you to define creative. Give me a definition for creative. Just think for a few seconds there and kind of write down your own definition, and then we'll talk about what is the definition of creative. By the way, can everybody see this screen okay? Is it working all right for you? We ran into a problem with video projectors this conference, and so I'm having to use my laptop. And so hopefully all of you are able to see. All right, let's talk a little bit about the definition of creative. Sandy? Okay. Brenda?
I said to create, to make something out of what you have.
To make something out of what you have. Okay, somebody else. Creation of, or the definition of creative.
Basically, what you said, taking the same basic elements you use time and time again, but this time coming up with a new recipe.
Doing something different, okay? Anybody else?
I'm able to see and make what isn't there or isn't visible.
Hey, read that again. That's very good.
Able to see and make visible what isn't there or is invisible.
Able to see and make visible what isn't there or is invisible. I like that definition of creative. Okay? Anybody else? Well, your definitions are about as good as mine. Because not only is it difficult to be creative, it's difficult to think what creative actually is. Actually, for most of us, creative is anything we haven't done before. That's kind of our definition of creative. Anything that's new to us, anything that gets us a little bit out of our comfort zone, we call that creative. All right? So, here's my thought about being creative. John Maxwell says it this way. He says, one is too small of a number for greatness. So you can't do this by yourself. It's very difficult to be fresh and creative by yourself. So the first thing you need if you're going to have a creative single adult ministry is you need a creative team. You need a team of people. And And since you want creativity, this team has to have variety. This team has to have both male and female. It has to have both younger and older singles. It has to have all categories of singles that you might have in your church. The single mom, the divorced, no kids, the never married, on and on. It needs to have a variety of people. And from the very beginning, you need to let this team know that their job is to be creative. Their job is not, it's not a social group. It's not to solve each other's problems. This team, let them know what their mission is. Their mission is to be creative. Now, to be creative, they need to know what is, so they can do something different than what is. So you need to bring them up to speed on what your ministry is all about. Bring them up to speed on what has happened in your ministry. Let's just take the mundane stuff we normally do, the Bible studies, the seminars, the activities, and so on, that has been the standard, the routine, so that they can be creative in beginning to look at a fresh way of approaching ministry in all those areas. And so give them lots of brainstorming time. If you have a budget, buy them some pizza or something, and get them together and give them some guidelines about what you're trying to do. Perhaps the first area you want to be creative in is maybe your next retreat that you're going to do. We want to do something really, really different on a retreat. I have no idea what, but I wanted a really creative retreat. Let's do something really different. What do you guys recommend? And then let them go and see what they come up with. Another word for this team is a brainstorming team. A brainstorming team. Another word that I've heard used is thinking team. John Maxwell wrote a book not too long ago called Thinking for a Change. Because for most of us, thinking is different. We don't think very much. In his office, he has put in what he calls a thinking chair. He never sits in that chair until he wants to do some serious thinking about where he's going and what he's doing. Same thing here. This is like a thinking team. It's a freshness team. It's a brainstorming team. It's a creative team. And let them know that's their mission, is to be creative. Remember, the whole point is people need to see Jesus Christ. Single adults need Jesus. And everything we do ought to point toward that in some way. It ought to be like an entry activity into our ministry. It ought to be a supportive activity of people who are hurting in our ministry. There's some function for everything we do. There's a purpose for everything we do. And they need to know what those purposes are, so this team can be creative. Now, I saw this little video on the internet of a team, a creative team that put together a video about fear. Now, there was a little program that followed this on what fear was all about and why people actually like to be scared. I mean, for a moment anyway, they like to be scared. And so it's a cute little video that this team put together on people being scared. So take a look at this.
I get
Is that better? So this team was given the mission of putting a creative video together to illustrate being afraid, being surprised. And then there was some sort of a program after that talking about how why people like to be surprised and why people like to be afraid, at least for small periods of time, because it's you're afraid, then it's funny, then you laugh. You know what I'm talking about? And so this creative team came up with this as a video to illustrate that. And I thought that was pretty good. And what they did is they brainstormed how they could illustrate that particular fact about being afraid or being surprised. And so you can do kind of the same thing with your group. If you have a certain direction you want to go with a kind of Bible study series or whatever, let's say the series is on love as an example, then you might have this brainstorm team to get together and say, okay, I want a creative way to illustrate love as a hook, to hook people into that Bible study, and then we'll do this 5-series, 5-week, whatever, Bible study. And so give them an opportunity to maybe put together a skit about love or about guy trying to get a date or something like that. Just turn them loose and let them be creative in trying to illustrate what you want illustrated for your ministry. Yeah, who's, you know, everybody dressed with their purse when a cell phone goes off. Me? Brainstorm? What? What do you mean? What do you mean get out of my comfort zone? What do you mean be creative? You mean I'm not already creative? You know? So, sometimes when people tell us that our ministry is not creative enough or I'm bored in your ministry, we get this kind of look on our face here that this can't be me. This can't be our ministry. I mean, our ministry has been like this forever. It's good. You know, it's, well, if it's been like that forever, then you better watch out, because Ridgecrest found out you go from 2,700 singles to 400 singles by doing nothing. That's easy. Another cell phone. So, brainstorm together. Brainstorm with your team. There ought to be a period of time when your entire class or your entire singles ministry gets together. You have a, maybe we do like once a quarter lunch. We call it an outreach lunch at our church for singles. We put a thing in the paper, free lunch for all singles. After church on Sunday, we have our kitchen team does a big lunch for us in the gym. And then following that, we'll say, whoever wants to say, we're doing a brainstorming session for, and we'll have a certain event or we'll have a certain Bible study or a certain conference that we're talking about. And our brainstorm team is going to be working on this. If you have ideas, they're going to be over there at those tables. And so sometimes, you know, 15 or 20 singles will stay and they'll go over and say, well, did you think about this? Or what about this? And we have some very creative things going on because of this brainstorming together. Now, there are certain areas of creativity I want to talk to you about. The first area I want to talk to you about is doing creative outreach. Now, we got our team together and let me see if I can get this thing going here. Let me fast forward this a little bit. We got our team together and said, okay, we are not doing a good job reaching young singles. So we need some way for our summer Bible studies coming up, our summer singles ministry and events coming up. We need a creative way to reach younger singles. And so the team said, okay, we need something maybe to do with sports. You know, what can we do? That year particularly was the Olympics, as I recall. So I said, well, let's kind of do the Olympics. They said, well, you know, everybody does the Olympics. Here it is, you know, we're coming up in July. And somebody else on the team said, well, okay, instead of doing the regular Olympics, why don't we do the Winter Olympics in July? Here's what we'll do. We'll have snow and ice in the parking lot in July, and we'll do bobsledding, and we'll do snow tubing, and snowball throwing, and we'll do that in July for our Winter Olympics in the summer. I said, okay, let's do it. Here's a little clip. Is it there yet? It's past there. I went way past it. Sorry about that. Well, let me rewind faster. Yes. Well, you're about to see. I apologize for this. I thought I had timed it right, but I obviously went way past this clip. What they did is they said, okay, obviously you can't have actual snow in the parking lot, so we got to create snow. So they brainstormed on how to create snow, and then they read some stuff and discovered that you can create snow by taking a 5-gallon bucket and you fill it 1/3 of the way full of baby shampoo. You take a high pressure hose and squirt it into the baby shampoo, and out of the bucket comes thick foam that you can actually cover an area with, made of baby shampoo and water. At first they thought about dishwashing liquid, but that burned your eyes.
What was the formula again? 5-gallon bucket?
Yeah, they took a 5-gallon bucket and several of them, and filled it 1/3 full of baby shampoo.
And high-powered hose.
Yeah, not either.
This is incredible. I have to rewind it all the way to the beginning and then a minute or two back. But anyway, they took baby shampoo and water to make the snow. Now, they wanted to do ice skating, and they said, we're going to advertise ice skating, so we need real ice, so how do we do this? So what they did is they took, you know, those foam pads about this wide and about that long that you kneel on in the garden to work in the garden? Okay, they took those and they Velcroed those on to their tennis shoes as ice skates. They had an ice skating arena and they covered it with this baby shampoo snow. Then at the start line for every heat, racing heat, they took a bag of crushed ice. So they keep their promise of skating on ice. And they sprinkled real ice on the starting line. But the most of the race was just on this snow, this baby shampoo snow. So they had ice skating racing, you know, speed skating on, and put hay bales down the middle and hay bales off to the side so that when you slide off, you don't get hurt. For the downhill snow tubing and bobsledding, they borrowed some lumber from a construction guy.
What was it called? What was the next one? We had ice skating, and then what
were we doing? We had bobsledding and downhill snow tubing. And they borrowed lumber from a construction guy, and they promised to put it together with screws so he could have it back and use it in houses. So he gave us, and they built 13-foot ramps with 30-foot-long sloping plywood ramps coming off of it. And they covered those ramps and the whole area with all the snow air. They covered this with old carpet, thrown-away carpet, and cardboard, 6 mil thick black plastic on top, and then the snow. So everything was slippery, but if you fall, it was padded. Okay? Now I'm going to play and see what happens here. There we go. Now we're going to get close to it. Okay, I'll get close to it here in just a second. So anyway, they built these ramps, went down to this big truck tire place and borrowed about 10 big truck inner tubes, big huge truck inner tubes. And here we go. This is called the Splash, is the Single People Loving and Serving Him Splash Winter Olympics Summer Edition. They created a t-shirt, sold t-shirts. They built those ramps out of borrowed wood. And that's the downhill tubing right there, racing down. Even some of the older singles were there doing this. This is the bobsled ramp.
Thank you.
This guy here is named Jason. Remember him. I'll talk about him in just a second. He's a young Army guy. He won a gold medal with this jump right here. We had a big awards banquet at night with big, a big three-tiered thing, gold, silver, bronze medals. This is team bobsledding, the ladies' division of team bobsledding. There's the men's team bobsledding. That's one of my leaders, single guy leaders right there. And the cameraman got too close on that one.
Facing performance styles, what do you do next?
And they also did snow volleyball, the snow-covered court, big thick pads underneath with volleyball. And then there was ice skating and snowballs and so on. And so they came up with this creative Winter Olympics and Summer event as an outreach event. Advertise it in the paper, the Olympics in the summer. This guy named Jason, he was driving by looking for something to do on this Saturday. He saw the Olympic flags. We had Olympic flags flying from those big high things. And he passed the driveway and saw it, this big Olympic village out there. And all the people around. So he stopped, turned around, and came back in. And he said, well, what is this? I said, well, it's the Winter Olympics. He said, I've never seen anything like this. Can I compete? I said, sure. So he paid $5 entry fee, and he got out there and competed in the clothes he was wearing when he was driving down the street. And he won a couple of gold medals and a silver medal in some different events. Interesting, his last name is Bonebreak. Jason Bonebreak was the name, Army guy. And so he comes into our group through this outreach event, this creative outreach event. He stayed in our group for 3 years until the Army transferred him. During the 3 years, he brought 12 singles into our group, three of them through salvation.
Amen. That's awesome.
Now, was it worth the effort?
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. And the singles have done, this was like 10 years ago, and the singles have done this. Every couple of years, they'll do this event again. And we actually had one Assembly of God group from Jackson, Tennessee, 2.5 hours away, charter a bus and come up overnight and stayed in a hotel to compete in this Olympics. And we have a big prime rib dinner that night for the awards dinner in our gymnasium. It's a big deal. Big deal. And a lot of singles come into our group through this event. That same day, a newspaper photographer was driving down the road and saw it, pulled over, and he said, what is this? I said, well, it's a big, singles thing. He said, can I take pictures of this? I said, let me think about it. Yes. He took photos of this Winter Olympics. Sunday, the Sunday paper, the biggest distribution in the world, the Sunday newspaper in the living section, you unfold it, we had the entire front page of the living section in color with pictures of our singles on tubes and going down the ramp on a bobsled and all this sort of stuff. And the title said, Winter Olympics in July, with God anything is possible. We got huge free advertising for our group. Phone rang off the hook on Monday and Tuesday from that newspaper ad, which came from a brainstorming team of singles for a creative way to outreach toward younger singles. See what happens when you turn single people loose in being creative? Now, I have, and I was so, I'm selling my house and I'm buying a new house where I'm moving and retiring and stuff, and I got very distracted this last week and failed to bring with me, I have a how-to video. This video shows how to do the Winter Olympics. It also shows how to blow up your church. It shows how to do homemade ice cream in a Ziploc plastic baggie. And then it has a little illusion that you can do about how the world can fool you. It's a little card that you flip, and it shows how to do that. And so I normally sell these videos for about $7, and that covers the cost of the videos and the mailing and all that sort of stuff to do. So if you'd like to have one of those how-to videos, it is in VCR. It's not DVD yet. It's VCR. And if you'd like to have one of those, what I'm going to do is I need your name and your mailing address. And if you'll put it on the back of, one of these sheets here. So I'm going to leave this sheet on this chair here. And if you put your name and your mailing address, and you can either pay me $7 now or raise your right hand and promise to send me $7 when I send you the video. Okay, either way. So if you want one of those creative how-to kind of videos, it also shows how to do the survival school, I think. One time we did a survival school for singles, and we divided off one of our fellowship areas, and we created a cardboard maze about as big as half a gymnasium. We just took pieces of cardboard we collected over the months, and we stood them up and taped them together, and we created this maze, and then we turned the lights off, and they had to make it through this maze in the dark. And once you get to the other end of the maze, you're in the survival school, and you get a survival vest, and it had camouflage nets that I borrowed from the Army and stuff like that. And it talks about what you need to survive. And I'm a pilot. I was in Vietnam, and we wore survival vests. So I borrowed one of those, and it had all kinds of stuff in it. I took all that stuff out and put stuff singles need to survive in there. And so that thing is on that video as well. So anyway, creative outreach. This is the entry point for people into your group. And if you turn your singles loose, they will have creative ways to do outreach for your group. Now, the Winter Olympics takes a lot of WORK. It takes a team of people willing to do the effort. But we had singles coming from everywhere for these Winter Olympics and coming into our group. And then the follow-on to that, the residual, like Jason, for instance. Jason came in that day and ended up bringing 12 more people in with him and leading three of them to Christ. And he led them to Christ before he brought them in. So it was just amazing what creativity can do when you give some guidelines, when you know what the purpose is of your group, what you're trying to accomplish, and you let them be creative. And it really works well. The second area I want to talk about is I want to talk about creative Bible study. By the way, I do want to say on creative outreach, there's two other things I forgot to mention. One is that I heard a radio talk show one day in my office not long after I got there, and it was just a regular old standard talk show about stuff in general. And so I called him up and said, I want to get on your talk show and talk about singles. And he said, well, why would you want to do that? Well, I said, well, don't you know that almost 50% of all the adults around here are single? He said, you're kidding me. I said, no, really, they are. He said, well, aren't they all divorced? I said, no. As a matter of fact, approximately 70% of all singles have never been married. And they're under 40 years old. He said, nah, I've never heard that before. He said, why don't you come on and talk about it? I said, okay. When? He said, Friday. He gave me the whole hour. I sat there and talked about singles ministry on this secular radio station, on this talk show, for an hour. Well, he said, when can you, and we finished it up, and he said, well, when can you come back? I said, you name the date. So I went back, talked more details about, of course, I did a lot of work, dug up a lot of statistics about single people and college students and so on. And so another guy from First Baptist Church downtown heard this on the radio, and so he called me up and he said, you know, we need a full-time Christian segment on that radio station. I said, man, I don't have time to try to do that. He said, well, I'm about to change jobs here and work for myself. He said, I think I'll call him. So Ron Hutchison called him, and within 2 months, there was a full hour called The Spirit of Clarksville on this secular radio station. It's still running today, 5 days a week, 9 to 10 o'clock every morning during the week. The Spirit of Clarksville, a Christian talk show. And I can go anytime I want. Just walk down and walk in the station, pick up a headset. Hey, Max, how you doing? What do you want to talk about? Well, I built a relationship with that radio station. You can do the same thing in your area. It's a way to do creative outreach by letting them broadcast you all around the community. So get to know the media people in your area and see if you can work out a way to get in with them in whatever they do and begin to talk about singles ministry and how you're trying to reach people. The second thing, other thing I want to say about creative outreach is that in my singles budget in my church, I actually have a line item in my budget now for quarterly outreach. I do a quarterly free lunch for singles, and I pay all the expenses for that. It's in my budget. So, you know, every quarter I give, sometimes I give prime rib for lunch. Sometimes it's chicken breast or stuffed pork or whatever it may be for lunch, free for whoever wants to come. And my budget pays all the expenses of that. So I have a specific line item in my budget for quarterly outreach. So let's take a look at creative Bible study. When do you do Bible study in your groups? What is the common, most standard way to do Bible study?
Friday night.
Do you do anything on Sunday?
We usually like a lunch or have Sunday school. An activity.
Okay, for most people, Sunday school. Mm-hmm. Sunday morning at the church Bible study is the standard for most people, for most groups. Some do have, we have a Friday night Bible study, we have a Wednesday night Bible study for singles, different subjects, different areas. But Sunday is our biggest group. Our biggest group will be there on Sunday. So, Sunday school is the primary means. A Sunday morning Bible study is, for most groups, is the primary time that they do Bible study. And they will have different groups. They might have a women's and a men's, or they might have older singles, younger singles, or maybe single moms. They'll have a single parents, maybe, group. One thing you can do as a variety for to do creative Bible study is what we do, like once a quarter, is gymnasium is our only big place to do this. So once a quarter, we will bring all of them together. I'll teach the Bible study, and then we follow that with the lunch. And so there's one thing you need to remember, though. If you ever deviate from your standard, do it with excellence. You cannot allow anybody to do Bible study with anything less than excellence. So whatever you do, you want to do with excellence. Well, one of the things at our church that the staff watches, and I watch it really carefully in the singles area because we have several like bulletin boards, is that if I ever walk by the bulletin board and there's a handwritten note on the bulletin board, I pull it off. I don't want anybody to see anything less than excellence when they view our singles area. You walk into our singles area, we're in an upstairs hallway at the end of a hallway area, and you walk into that area and you start seeing signs hanging on the ceiling, and when you get there, you see a coffee bar. It's set up, it's got the little one-pod coffee makers in it, it's got the big coffee maker, and it's got all kinds of flavors, it's got donuts, it's cream cheese stuff. I mean, it is a full coffee shop up in the singles area every Sunday morning. When you walk into the singles area, you walk up to a girl who's sitting there at a computer. And she says, "Can I have your name, please?" And her name is Carol. Okay. And so she types in Carol. And then she says, "Carol, would you like to register?" And Carol, most say, "Okay." And so she presses print. And while Carol's name tag is printing, she registers Carol with the singles ministry registration. It prints it out in three copies so that I get a copy, the teacher gets a copy, and the church office gets a copy. The next thing that happens is that Carol is probably going to go to lunch somewhere. Most singles do go to lunch somewhere. So she's probably going to go to Charlie's or someplace like that for lunch. But what she don't know is while she's at lunch, a single adult has gone to her apartment or her house, and they are hanging a welcome gift on her door, which will be there when she gets home, saying, "Welcome to our singles group. Thank you for coming." It has a pen, it has some chocolate chip cookies in it, just all kinds of some markers with church name on it, stuff like that in this. So she is going to feel as though we care about her. We call that first touch, by the way, that ministry that visits, and we did it in the singles, and now the whole church does it. We have a huge team of people. We have a team of people who cook cookies and stuff. We have another team of people who man the desk that handles all of the copying. And if Gordon here is the single in the group, and Carol comes to visit, and he gets her card, Gordon is going to take that bag. And when he gets that bag, already on that bag is not only a copy of Carol's information sheet, but behind it is a map to her house. Because the First Touch team has a computer on the internet at the desk, and they bring up Carol's address and print a Yahoo map, or MapQuest, whatever, map, and attach it to the back and tape it on the bag. So when Gordon picks up that bag, he knows exactly how to get to Carol's apartment. He drives up there, walks up, he don't even knock on the door. Walks up, he hangs it on the doorknob or puts it on the bush or whatever he has to do, and then he goes to lunch or home or wherever. and it's called First Touch. It's the first touch outside of the church to Carol. So when we do creative Bible study, we follow that Bible study up with a creative contact of her or whoever else it is that came to our church. So all together we'll do Bible study like quarterly. We'll vary the teachers. We have a group of teachers within our singles ministry, and they teach with different styles. And so we'll rotate those teachers through sometimes. We'll have one guy who loves to lecture, and he's very, 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 very good at lecturing. And so we'll run him through there every once in a while. And then we have somebody else who doesn't believe in lecturing. What he likes is small groups. And so you'll spend a lot of time in small groups with this guy. Or another guy who likes to get you in a circle and sit down and be part of the group and talk. And I mean, just different styles. And so we'll rotate teachers through the groups. We also do Bible study other than Sunday. And you talked about Friday and somebody else talked about whatever days. And we do Bible study on Wednesdays because it's like Sunday school on Wednesdays because there's some singles who work on Sunday. Can't come on Sunday. They come Wednesday. That's their Sunday school, is on Wednesday night. And then yet we have other singles who don't come Sunday or Wednesday, but they come Friday. And we have singles from other churches who come to our Bible study every Friday because they want to go to their church on Sunday, which is great. So creative Bible study is another way, another area that you need to consider. Creative activities. We talked about the Winter Olympics already as our outreach event, but there are other activities that you do. You probably have a standard set of activities. You may have, okay, let's the standard activity for a lot of groups is a potluck. We're going to do a potluck fellowship. We're going to get together. And so you can. We have a group that said one day, okay, you know, instead of doing the potluck, here's what we're going to do. This is called a progressive dinner. You're probably familiar with that. So we're going to go to Carol's house. Carol, she's going to give us salad. And we're going to go to No Name. Joanne. We're going to go to Joanne's house, and we get an hors d'oeuvre of some kind, some sort of an appetizer. And then we're going to go over here to Faye's house, and she's going to give us prime rib. Whatever, you know. And so you do that. Another way, we had this brainstorm team came up, and they said, okay, we're going to do a, and I think they used the term a hidden dinner. Once it's a confusion dinner, unless it's a hidden dinner. And we did it there at the church in the gym. And you come into this dinner, and it's a singles, it was like on a Friday night or something, I forget. But you come into this dinner, and you sit down, and there's a menu. And the menu is totally confusing. Like, one thing on the menu was trim little crafts. Another choice on the menu was farm implement. Now, what you were choosing on the menu is not only what you want to eat, but what you want to eat it with. You had to choose your utensils. So if you chose the... now, what was this called? If you chose... like we had spaghetti one night, and somebody chose... I forget what the name was, but they ended up with a spatula as a utensil. Trying to eat spaghetti with a spatula. The trim little crafts, by the way, were the celery with the pimento cheese in it. That was a trim little craft. And so... confused noodles, I think, was the spaghetti. And so they came up with what they call a confused dinner, and you had to order all these things off the menu, including your utensils. And they had various segments. You had to order from each segment. So one segment was just utensils, so you knew you'd get something to eat with, see. So it was a lot of fun, and it was just a way to do something different. And people talked about that, you know, for months afterwards. Oh, yeah, I tried to eat with a spatula. So creative activities. Allow your team to get outside the box on creative activities, whether you have to go away to do those or whether you do them at the church. If you do them at the church, you have the possibility of always providing what you should always provide, that's child care. And we, in our budget, we make absolutely sure we have money in our budget to provide child care for virtually every activity we do. We do not want to require some single mom who's just gone through a divorce, who's hurting for money, to have to figure out a way to pay child care so she can come to this thing. We don't want that. So we work very hard with our children preschool minister to provide child care. And we work with our... by the way, if you have a college nearby and you have a Baptist student center or a Methodist student center or whatever, we work with our Baptist student center, and they have college students who try to earn money for their mission trips in the summer. So I call up old Jim Alexander and say, hey, Jim, I need four college students for Friday night. Can you help me out? I need them for 2 hours. He said, yeah, sure. He sends me 4 college students for two hours on Friday night. I send him a $50, $75 donation to their mission trip from my ministry. So you can do creative things like that. Work with organizations like that. Creative retention. Now, creative retention talks about trying to keep the back door closed on your singles ministry. Now, if you're like my group, if you, let's say your average, let's just pick 100. Your average attendance is 100. Well, you're going to have a whole lot more than 100 singles who come to your ministry because they don't all come on the same Sunday. Sometimes I can add it up during the month and I'll have 350 different singles in my church. But my attendance may be 120. But they don't all come on the same Sunday. Some come every other Sunday because they work. One guy who is a videographer for fishermen, he goes all over the world doing fisherman tournament things. And he videos that for National Geographic. And he's in my group. And so he attends one Sunday a month. And so he's one of those guys that one Sunday a month, he's going to be there. The rest of the time, he's not. He's going to be in Mozambique, or he's going to be in Kentucky, or whatever the case may be. And so, creative retention says, know where these people are. So you know what I do during the 3 weeks that he's not there? I send him emails. I have a team that sends out emails to singles who are not there. I have Army guys who are deployed to Iraq, Afghanistan, but they can get email. And so we have a team that makes sure they stay informed. So when they come back to our group. So we remind them what the Bible study is all about, what's happening in the group. You know, sorry you missed so-and-so. Hey, it's on. If you get a chance to get it on the internet, it's on the website. Take a look at it. I had a lot of fun, so on and so forth. And so in creative retention, you're creating an atmosphere that makes singles who are away want to come back to your group. There's another way you can create an atmosphere of retention. We started at 1:30, right? Okay, we got a few minutes. There's another way you can create an atmosphere of retention. You know what makes singles stay in your group? If something is fresh and new, and if they're being fed, if they're learning something. Well, what do they need to learn? Well, Faye needs to learn something different than Brenda does, which is different than Matthew does. So, once a year, without fail, our entire singles ministry does a survey. And we give them this survey, and the survey asks who they are and what they care about and what kind of training they need. And we actually do something really crazy. We really use the surveys. We actually design our Bible study ministry around what the surveys say. And you can actually find the survey we use if you go to www.singlesmall.com. SINGLESMALL. Singlesmall.com. And when you get on that site, a little arrow points to the left for singles, it points to the right for leaders. If you go to the right for leaders, find the tab that says Survey Instruments. And that survey you see on there is the survey I use. You can copy that thing, you can highlight it, Control C and copy it, paste it into a Word document. Take all my words out, put your words in, change it around any way you want, and use it for your ministry. When singles come into our group, after 6 months, we give them the survey. Because we want to know their opinion. We want to know what they think about our ministry. They had a chance to be there and kick the tires a little bit. So when we know what singles need, we can provide that growth that they need, and singles will stay. Now, our singles ministry took a big hit when Iraq started. Because the 101st Division, a lot of young soldiers in our group, and the 101st Division deployed to Iraq. They stayed, they got extended, and when they came back, a lot of those guys were sent off training, they got time off for home, and then had to get ready to redeploy again. And our ministry took a big hit from the Army guys. But we are rebuilding from that, and so more units are moving into Fort Campbell, Kentucky, which is near us, and so we're beginning to rebuild that military portion of our ministry. But the guys who were over there that we kept in contact with came back. Now, just last Sunday, here's a good example. We broadcast live on the internet every Sunday morning. Our 10:30 services, and this is Central Time, our 10:30 services are broadcast live on the internet. If you go to hildale.org, you'll see a little thing that says live video on Sunday mornings. And you click on that and you can watch our services live. Last Sunday, in the control room, they know they have a little program that tells them who's logged on. And they knew that one of our guys in Afghanistan was logged on watching the program. His name's David. And so I told the pastor, hey, David is watching this morning. So at the end of the service, the pastor said, hey, David Hurd is in Afghanistan watching. Of course, he's in the middle of the night over there. He's watching. So let's all say hi to David. So the cameras scan the crowd, and we all stand up and look at the cameras. Hey, David, happy Easter, you know. Well, he emailed back, and he was just tickled to death over that. We took a mission trip, a singles mission trip to Wales and England. And we got back, and we were back for almost a week. And the pastor of the church that our young singles went to in Wales emailed me and said, tell us that website again so we can watch your program on Sunday morning your time. I said, okay, so I gave it to him. Sure enough, his church was logged on to our site on Sunday morning. So our singles group that was over there got up and said, hey, Bob, you know, David, hey, how you doing, Betty, you know, that sort of thing. So it was really neat in the creative way. And you know what? Those singles who went on that trip and were connected through the internet to David and through the internet to England, you couldn't pry them out of our group. You know, they identify with the excellence of our group. It's part of our retention. Bringing singles into an atmosphere of excellence. Providing what they need to learn and grow, and answering their questions and letting them be a part of the process of developing our ministry. So we want to do creative retention as much as we can. Now, if you are a good singles ministry, what you are doing is you are kicking your singles out, a percentage of your singles, you're kicking them out of your Sunday morning activities into ministry. And they're going into children's ministry, they're going into deaf ministry, in our case we have a deaf ministry, or whatever the case may be, and you're getting those singles involved in applying their lives in a godly way in ministry. But here's how you retain them for your other activities. And I have a lot of singles who don't go to our Bible studies, but they come to our activities. Because they're involved in ministry on Sunday mornings or maybe Wednesday nights for kids or whatever the case may be. So the way we did it was this. We had this lady came up and she said, you know, we need to... here's Sharon, and she's been in our singles for 2 years, and now she's ready to teach kids, and she's gone to teach kids. But we don't want to let people forget about her, so here's what we should do. We should come up here in the coffee shop area of the singles. We should put us a big board right here on the wall, and... ministry, or singles in ministry is what she says. Singles in ministry. And so we have a picture of Sharon right here. And it says, third grade children's teacher. So now all the singles who come up for coffee know that Sharon is out serving. And some singles see that and they say, well, I wonder if they need anybody else over there in the children, you know? And you get them in ministry. You know, I got frustrated over the first few years because I had about 10% of my singles leaving my ministry. Going into serving. And every year, as a pastor, I have to do a report every year on my ministry, and then I have to do a goal-setting portion of my report. Finally, I started including in my goal-setting to get rid of 10% of my singles. I said, every year I want to move 10% of my singles out into ministry, because it's happening anyway. I might as well make it a goal, right? So that's one of my goals. And then every year I say, I made my goal. I made it. 1 year I was only 8%. You know, I said, well, I didn't quite make my goal. But I want to move singles into ministry. I want them to serve in a way where they're serving Christ at a deeper level. And so part of the retention is keeping track of those singles who are out serving in ministry. Because you know what? After Sharon serves a year teaching those kids, she may need a break. Where's she going to go? Back in our singles ministry, back in our Bible study. Because we've kept that connection with her. We keep her on the email list of activities and events. We have a singles website, hilldalesingles.com. And it keeps our calendar on there. We keep divorce care information on there, single parent information, on and on and on. So, anyway, we have a website, and then the singles can keep up with each other, you know, through that website and the schedule that's there. Sometimes if we're not careful, we produce a ministry that's confusing to people. And what we'll do is we'll create all these rules and regulations about where singles have to go, what singles have to do, or people in general in our church have to do. And some new person will come into our ministry, if we're not careful, they'll see this. They'll see something like this that looks confusing. What in the world is that all about? Well, we want to focus. We want to really focus people in as soon as possible and reduce the confusion. We don't want to complicate our ministry to the point that they don't see what we're all about. If we're not careful, though, sometimes we'll do this. We'll begin adding activities and events to our ministry that don't seem to be connected. And we'll keep adding stuff that seems to confuse people, and we keep adding, and we keep adding, and we keep adding. And if we're not careful, we'll confuse things to the point that people no longer see the main thing. And the main thing is Jesus. Everything we do is about Him. Every single that comes into our group is either saved or lost. They're either going to heaven or they're going to hell. One of the two. And all these creative things we do are nice and fun and creative, but never let your team forget that the point is we're creating an atmosphere in which singles can feel comfortable in our group. Singles can feel an atmosphere of learning in our group. They have a place they can ask questions and they can challenge spiritual things if they want to. But always they can learn who Jesus is and why they need Him and how they can get Him.
Amen.
That is the focus. That's the key to creative singles ministry. Everything you do, however creative it may be, has to point here. And if you honor God in that way, and if your team has that as a focus, and if they honor Him in that way, your ministry will grow and you'll be able to retain people and you'll see singles saved. And over the years, we have averaged about 30 singles saved every year in our ministry. A lot of those, and I finally got so tired of military people leaving, I said, what we're doing is we're doing a missionary commissioning service for all the Army guys to get reassigned. Because they're missionaries for our group, leaving our group, and they're going overseas, and they're going to be influencing other people all over the place. And so we just call them missionaries, and we commission them when they leave the group. And so instead of losing singles to corporate moves or Army moves or whatever, well, we're just commissioning missionaries to go out. And these go out, some of them be gone, you know, for years. Just the other day, a couple Sundays ago, I was walking up the aisle, and this guy was smiling at me, and I looked at him, I said, Charles, Jock, good, great. He's been gone 4 years. 4 years. Up in New York. He had a job up in New York, and boom, here he is back again. Why did he come back? Because when Charles was in our group, he was hurting really, really bad. And he had some guys who reached out to him, who loved him and cared for him. Brother, he got saved in our group. He became an active part of our group. And when he moved back to the area, there he was, back in again. Because he found Jesus in Splash. Single people loving and serving Him. So that's my encouragement to you, is that get together with a group of people, free them up to be creative. Make sure that their creativity is focused here in all kinds of ways, and your singles ministry will grow. As we say in Tennessee, I'm through talking now.
Do the Splash thing again, single people.
Loving and serving Him. But just as a side issue, we do ministry in our town a lot. We do a Christmas ministry to single parents, but we were doing a Habitat. Our singles ministry did a couple of Habitat houses. And we were putting vinyl siding one summer day, sweating like crazy. All the women hated it. Their makeup was in their shoes, you know. I mean, it was awful that day. And this photographer came out, and he saw our group out there working on siding. So he took some photos, and it was in the paper of our singles group. But this one single girl, who was one of our leaders, he said, what is this Splash thing I see around? You got Splash on your shirts and this. She said, well... And then here she got sweat running down, dropping, you know. She looked, her hair was like this, you know. But she's a trooper. She's out leading the team, putting siding on. She said, well, it used to be single people loving and serving Him, but we've changed it just a few minutes ago. He said, well, what is it now? She said, single people laughing and siding houses. Tornado came through our town, wiped out part of our downtown, wiped out a lot of houses near our university. I tell you what, this happened at 4:30 in the morning. At 6:30 in the morning, there was a group of singles waiting outside our gymnasium to open the doors. They started making sandwiches for all of the police and all those kind of people, starting to feed those people. And a few days later, a bunch of pastors got together and said, "Hey, we need to help these people whose houses were damaged. They don't have insurance." So one of our single ladies didn't even call me. She just drove down there and volunteered us to renovate a house. She called me up, "Hey, Max, I volunteered us to renovate a house over by the university." You know, I said, "Oh, thanks a lot." You know, and so sure enough, our group went over, and this lady's house was a mess. Half the roof was gone. All the carpets were wet. It was a mess. And we took that house and we replaced the roof. We renovated. The city provided the stuff. We provided the. It took us about 2 months to do this house. We renovated the whole thing, repainted it, recarpeted it. Everything, and this lady showed up in tears, and we had a little ceremony, handed her the keys on the porch. I'm telling you, that builds people. That builds your singles. When they see that they matter, that they make a difference in the world. As a matter of fact, here it is. It is 2:30. It's 1:40 in Clarksville, Tennessee right now, and my singles group is just finishing up a ministry called MAD. We do it every summer, every spring. MAD. Making a Difference. And there is this senior citizen couple in our church. He had a stroke. He's in a wheelchair. Their property got renovated, got classified as commercial, and they had to sell. They had to move. And they had stuff everywhere. They couldn't get it moved in. So our singles group volunteered to go over and completely move them in, move everything, set up the house the way she wants, whatever she wants. And they are still there right now doing that. Making a difference. And when you get people out of their own comfort, out of their own zone of, "I need help," and everybody needs help, but when you stop thinking about yourself and you go look at somebody who's in worse shape than you are, that's powerful. Now, tomorrow morning at church, I'll be there, and they're going to come up to me, and they're going to tell me everything that happened during MAD, Making a Difference. Got somebody there taking pictures right now? We'll put those on the internet. So, it's all about retaining. It's all about pointing people here. Any other questions?
Our singles ministry has to raise most of its own funds. Can you suggest some creative ways for fundraising? Maybe that you have.
Actually, we have done some creative ways for fundraising for various events. Our church has allowed us to do like a spaghetti dinner where people come and donate. We wanted to raise money for we wanted to give single parents gifts at Christmas. We wanted to give them a box of Christmas dinner food and gifts for their kids. And so we created a ministry called Pennies from Heaven. And early on in that ministry, we had to raise our own money for that ministry. So what we did is, our team came up with the idea that we should do a drive-in theater. So we went out on the gymnasium wall of our church, and they put a king-size sheet. They took a video projector and Three Amigos or some movie like that. And we got our sound guys to set us up a couple speakers outside. And then we took some of that engineer tape, "Don't cross this line." We kind of walled off the parking lot area. And then we advertised it in the paper. And by the way, you can do free advertising, by the way, in the paper and on radio stations. And it's called... the term is public service announcement, PSA. And you send a public service announcement, and the law says they have to do free public service announcements because they get federal airtime. And they advertise all our stuff free. And so we advertise it free, and we said, the singles of the Hill of Baptist Church are doing a drive-in theater at our church, gave the address, such a night. Entry requirement is $1 per person or one canned good. And we had that place full. People sitting there, we had people in lawn chairs up. We have this little popcorn machine thing, so we set it out on a table, sold popcorn, and people came up in lawn chairs to sit and watch the big screen, and a lot of people stayed in their cars, and the speakers were big. And we raised a lot of money for Pennies from Heaven just by doing a drive-in theater. Now, another thing you can do is build relationships with key people in your church. There's this one deacon in our church who thought 13 and a half years ago when I first came, we didn't need a singles ministry. You know, why do singles need a ministry? We don't need it. And he told me up front, he said, I didn't vote for you. I don't think we need a singles minister. Welcome to Hilldale. His name is Jimmy. And so there I was. But I began to build a relationship with Jimmy. Jimmy is a builder in our city. And I began to take him to lunch. I began to spend time with him. I began to talk to him, you know. I ministered to his daughter, who was a single at the time. And so one day Jimmy came up to me and he said, when you doing this Christmas thing? I said, we start in November, in late November. We start putting everything together, buying the food and stuff. And he said, well, you don't have a lot of money in your budget. Do you need more money? I said, Jimmy, we always need more money. He said, okay. He said, I'll tell you what. Here's a couple $1,000. See if that might, you know, that might help buy the hams for your Christmas boxes. See, Jimmy didn't vote for me. Didn't want me there. Welcome to Hilldale. And you fast forward about 3.5 years down the road, and I love Jimmy. I loved him. Cared about him. Always spoke to him every Sunday morning. Built a relationship with him. And here he is buying for single parents their Christmas dinner hams. Now, the next year, we were doing a singles conference because I wanted to do prime rib for this singles conference. I didn't have enough in the budget, but I wanted to do prime rib for the singles conference. And so he came up to me again and he said, you're doing this big conference thing. I said, yes, sir. He said, well, do you need anything? I said, well, I'm kind of tight on my budget. He said, I'll tell you what. I'll buy all the meat. Just send me the bill. I said, thanks. So to the tune of, I forget what it was, like $800, he brought prime rib for all the singles that came to that conference. Build relationships with key people. Thank you for being here. Let's pray together. And we'll end this session. Father, you're good to us far beyond what we deserve. Thank you. God bless these singles and these leaders with success, with brainstorming skills, with creativity, that their ministries might flourish and point people to Jesus. In His name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.